This is reading from the double volume, A Way of Self-Knowledge and The Threshold of the Spiritual World. I'm on The Threshold of the Spiritual World. This is Aphorism 3, entitled The Human Etheric Body and the Elemental World. We come to acknowledge and cognize a supersensory spiritual world by overcoming certain obstacles in our souls that from the outset normally oppose any such acknowledgement. The difficulty here has to do with the fact that these obstacles are effective in the soul's existence, but do not rise into consciousness in ordinary life. A great deal lives in the human soul, of which the soul is initially unaware, and which it must gradually come to know, just as it must learn about beings and processes of the external world. Before cognizing it, the spiritual world is something quite foreign to the soul. It has no attributes that the soul can experience in the sensory world. Thus the soul may find itself facing the spiritual world and see there only a complete nothing. In this case, the soul feels as though it were looking into an endless, empty, deserted abyss. This feeling of facing the abyss, a kind of dread, actually exists in the depths of the soul. At first, the soul is unconscious of these depths. The soul feels only that this experience of dread is related to fear, and that it lives in this fear without knowing it. Not only is what the soul knows important in its life, what actually lives in the soul without its knowledge is also important. When the soul tries to employ thinking to refute or prove the spiritual world, it is not because the reasons it finds are compelling in themselves. It is because it is looking for a kind of anesthetic, for the feeling of dread just described. People do not deny the spiritual world or the possibility of knowing it because they can prove its non-existence. They do so because the soul wishes to fill itself with thoughts that conjure away its fear or dread of the spiritual world. To become free from this desire for a materialistic means of anesthetizing the dread, one must have an overview of soul life in its totality. In the study of the soul, therefore, it is important to understand materialism as a psychological phenomenon of fear. This dread of the spirit becomes understandable once we can acknowledge that the processes and beings of the sensory world are the outer expression of spiritual processes and beings. This understanding begins when we recognize that the body that we perceive, which is all that external natural science is concerned with, is the expression of a subtle suprasensory body. This etheric body contains the sensible or physical body in much the same way as a condensed kernel is contained in a cloud. Taking the physical body as the first part of the human being, the etheric body is the second member or part. The basis of the life of the physical body lies within it. The etheric body, however, is not separated from the outer world to the same extent that the physical body is. When I speak of an outer world in relation to the etheric body, I am not referring to the physical outer world that we can perceive through the senses. I mean rather a spiritual environment that is, in relation to the physical world, suprasensory, just as the human etheric body is suprasensory in relation to the physical body. From this point of view, the human being is an etheric being in an etheric or elemental world. When we become conscious of the fact that we always exist as etheric beings in an elemental world, the awareness of this fact, of which we are ordinarily unconscious, is something quite different from normal experience. This knowledge enters suprasensory cognition. Suprasensory consciousness then knows something that is always there, but is hidden from normal consciousness. In ordinary consciousness, when people wish to refer to the being that presents itself in their physical bodies, they speak of that being as capital I. In the sensory world, then, healthy soul life depends upon feeling oneself separate from the rest of the world. To designate some external process or being as belonging to the I would violate this health. But this is not the case when one experiences oneself as an etheric being in the elemental world. In the elemental world, your own being, your I, merges with certain processes and beings around you. You must, therefore, find your etheric nature in something that is not inner, in the sense that you have become accustomed to understand that concept in the sensory world. Forces, processes, and beings exist in the elemental world that, even though they are, in a sense, outside, must be considered as if they belonged to one's own I. As an etheric human being, you are woven into the nature of the elemental world. In the physical sensory world, you have your thoughts. These are so close to you that you can regard them as belonging to your I's existence. The interaction of forces and processes in the etheric human being seem just as inner and just as intimate as thoughts in the sensory world, but they do not act like thoughts. They are like beings who live with and in the soul. Therefore, suprasensory cognition needs more inner strength than the soul normally needs to maintain its independence from its thoughts. The fundamental preparation for true spiritual vision, therefore, consists in so strengthening and empowering the soul that it feels itself as an independent being. The soul must feel itself a separate being, not only when it contains thoughts, but also when the powers and beings of the elemental world enter its field of consciousness as part of its own being. The power of the soul through which it holds its own as an elemental being is also present in ordinary human life. At first, the soul is unaware of this power, but it does have it. To have it knowingly, the soul must arm itself. It must acquire the kind of inner strength of soul that it gains in the preparation for spiritual vision. So long as you cannot commit to developing this inner strength, you will have an understandable dread of admitting your spiritual environment. Unconsciously, you will reach for the illusion that the spiritual world does not exist or cannot be known. That illusion will help you past your instinctive dread that your own being, your I, is intertwined or merged with a real outer spiritual world. If you understand the facts described above, you will recognize that there is an etheric human being behind the physical or sensory human being, and an etheric elemental or suprasensory world behind the physical world. Just as, in the sensory world, physical consciousness finds thoughts that are not independent and not real, so in the elemental world, clairvoyant consciousness finds real beings that have some degree of independence. As you live into the elemental world, you will begin to see that the partially independent beings exist there in a greater context. Looking at the limbs of the human body, you observe first their partial independence, then you recognize that they exist as parts within the total body. Suprasensory consciousness will similarly see the individual beings in the elemental world existing as living members of a greater spiritual body. Further, suprasensory experience will then lead you to recognize that greater spiritual body as the earth's elemental suprasensory living body. The etheric human being feels itself to be a member of this life body of the earth. To advance in spiritual vision in this way is to gain ever deeper insight into the nature of the elemental world. That world is alive with many kinds of beings. You can express the activities of these real beings or forces only by indicating their various characteristics in pictorial form. You will find beings there that are related to everything that seeks duration, density, and weight. We can call them earth souls. If we do not fancy ourselves too clever and are unafraid of images that indicate reality, but are not that reality. We could call them gnomes. You will also find beings that, on account of their attributes, we could call air, water, or fire souls. Then there are also other beings. These certainly appear as if they were elemental or etheric beings. But you will recognize that something of a higher kind of reality than that of the elemental world lies hidden in their etheric natures. You will learn that you cannot understand the true nature of those beings with a level of suprasensory knowledge sufficient for the elemental world, any more than you can achieve an understanding of the true nature of the human being with mere physical consciousness. The beings whom we can call earth, water, air, and fire souls stand with their activities in a certain relationship within the earth's life body. There they have their tasks. But their activity reaches beyond the realm of earth. If you come to know them better through supersensory experience, you and your consciousness will be led beyond the realm of the earth. You will see how this earthly realm is formed from another realm. You will see, too, how spiritual seeds are unfolding within the earth that will, in the future, enable another realm, in a sense a new earth, to arise. In my book titled An Outline of Esoteric Science, I mentioned why that out of which the earth evolved is called Old Moon, and why we call the world toward which the earth is moving Jupiter. It is important to understand these terms correctly. Old Moon refers to a long-gone world from which Earth was formed by transformation. Jupiter, in the spiritual sense, means a future world toward which Earth is now evolving. That's the end of Aphorism 4, and here's a small summary. A subtle, etheric human being underlies the human physical body. This etheric being lives in an elemental, etheric environment, just as physical human beings live in a physical environment. The elemental environment is part of the supersensory body of the earth. The earth, for its part, represents the metamorphosis of an ancient world, Old Moon, and is the preparation for a future world, Jupiter. Schematically, we can consider the human being in the following way. 1. The physical body is sensory surroundings through which we recognize ourselves as independent I beings. 2. The subtle etheric body in elemental surroundings through which we recognize ourselves as part of the earth's living body, and thereby indirectly as participating in 3 successive planetary conditions. That's the end of the summary and the end of Aphorism 3.